Nathan March's fingers danced across the fretboard like quicksilver spiders. His head bobbed in time to the rhythm he'd programmed into his metronome, and he palm-muted the following riff as he changed the chord progression. He was halfway through it when the D string dropped to a C to make it lower and fatter snapped with a plink. He polished off the warm beer resting on his amplifier, drew a colder one from the small cooler beside his chair and cracked it open, enjoying the satisfying sound of air escaping the can. He was restringing the guitar when someone knocked at the door. "Yo, hold up," he said. He spun the tuning peg to about the right position, snatched up a second brewski and walked to the door. "That you, Oakes?" "Yeah, man, I made it." The responding voice was quieter, meeker than he remembered. Shame could do that to a person, but he figured it would pass. It would take time, but he intended to start that journey tonight. "Get in here." He took Oakes's bag off him, thrust the beer into his hand and wrapped him in a bro hug. "Can't tell you how good it is to see you, dude." He pounded a fist on his childhood friend's shoulder and met his eyes. "It's all gonna be sweet, brother. It's all gonna be sweet. Come on, don't look at me like that. I'm clean. You'd think I'd have left the clinic otherwise." Stephen Oakes, just Oakes to most who knew him, embraced Nathan this time. "You've always been there for me, man. I want to thank you for that." Oakes appeared to be a million times healthier than when Nathan had last seen him. He'd cut his hair short, scraped a razor over it. The half-wasted corpse looked a plague so many junkies had gone out the window. Nathan waved the gratitude away. "Then come in. It's cold out there." Nathan closed the door behind Oakes and showed him around the apartment. The short hallway led to a bachelor's lounge room. The furniture, a couple of recliners, an old coffee table and a futon had come from separate garage sales, but the television was brand new. There were several Marshall lamps stacked haphazardly around the place, and the bar fridge had a Marshall lamp decal on it too. Despite that, walls adorned in tour posters pilfered from dozens of live gigs told the real story. Nathan grinned when Stephen noticed the poster from their first ever show, a 25-minute stint playing live before four other bands. Nathan, who always saw himself as a fan first and foremost, had been young and naive enough to have the band that had headlined sign it, and it was one of the only framed posters on the wall. There were horror movie posters, a few reprints of famous artworks there too. Above the television, a series of postcard-sized prints featuring Delacroix's images from the Goethe's Faust had been pinned to the wall in a scattered mosaic. Opposite them, the first t-shirt design that ever sold at a live show had been framed as wall art. Their name, Polyphemus, lettered in a barely legible scrawl akin to a spider's web, hovered over a giant cyclops clutching a spear rammed through his eye. "What do you reckon?" he asked his old friend. "I used to love that shirt. I think I gave it to some groupie chick like a total dumbass. Never treasured things like that, you know," Oakes said. "It's nostalgia. I'm sure we could find you one." Nathan swigged a large gulp of beer, then reached over and opened Oakes's can for him. "Here's to good friends and good health." He raised the can to his lips and waited for Oakes to do the same. "Part of the whole deal is staying away from intoxicants. I shouldn't. Dude, how long have we known each other? Aren't I the straightest person you know?" "It's not the point. Did you bring drugs?" He didn't mean to use the tone he did, but it naturally came out that way. Oakes sighed. "Jesus Christ, I haven't even sat down yet. You know damn well I didn't." "Then what harm can a couple of beers do? You're out, you're clean, haven't seen you in months. Drink the fucking beer." He held Oakes's sad gaze. "Brewski with a brewski, man, just like the old days. Say cheers." "Cheers." It sounded weak, but Oakes clinked his can against Nathan's and sipped lightly. Nathan finished his long, deep swigs and wiped his mouth. He gestured to one of the recliners. "Now, you going to tell me about all the nurses at the clinic, or am I going to have to keep using my imagination?" Oakes picked up the acoustic guitar resting on a stand near his couch and gave it a peremptory strum. He twisted a tuning peg, played a few chords, moved through an old blues scale. "Hey, play that again." "Play what?" "Riff you just played." "This one." He played the chords he started with. "No, the other one." Nathan picked up the electric he'd been playing earlier. "This one." He played something similar to the blues riff Oakes had busted out. It was familiar in the way that riffs from established songs are. "This one?" Oakes played it. "Crossroads. Everyone knows it. Pretty much a standard." Nathan flicked on his little 40-watt amp and switched off the distortion. He played the opening notes with Oakes, cringed, tuned to standard, played again and kept going. Oakes's eyes settled on the Faust postcards, then sang. Once the riff had played through a couple of times, "I went to the clinic, fell down on the stage." He grinned a big, goofy grin at Nathan, a semblance of his old self in there. Maybe, Nathan thought. Maybe everything's fine and he's been fixed. "I went to the clinic, nearly died, heroin. But there weren't no damn fine nurses. Only Mrs. Palmer for me." Laughter consumed them. Beers, mildly crude joke, and a friend you haven't seen in a while had that effect. After a full belly laugh, Nathan pulled a bag of weed out of a drawer on the coffee table. Oakes pointedly didn't pay attention to it. If this was the old Stephen Oakes, he'd have been on that like a fly on shit. Nathan picked out a fine bud and dropped it into the bowl. You still smoke? I told you, it's the program. There's a whole bunch of Faith in Christ clean living stuff in it. I'm pretty sure it's helped. We got enough of that at school. Didn't help then. Don't see why we can't smoke a spliff. It doesn't mean you don't have to say it. I know I fucked up, all right? He set the guitar down and sat on the couch. I don't expect you to understand what it's like. Beers are one thing, but for you, weed's nothing. For me, it was always part of the whole thing. I'd start by getting ripped off my face, and then a couple of hours later, I'd be on the nod floating away. He wiped his face with his hands. You read Slash's book, right? You know how he talks about getting so messed up he saw demons? That never happened to me. What happened to me was worse. I ruined things for people I loved. Dude. No, not dude, it's true. We were about to tour the world with the Violent Dead, the kind of tour that gives you big pull when the festivals start making calls, and that's where the respect and the kudos come from. All I had to do was stay straight, and it wasn't even an option. You remember how hard you worked trying to keep me away from it? It's the past. You're fine. Yeah, I'm fine. But you know how many people in that clinic were repeat visitors? Some of them, I don't even know why they bother packing and unpacking. They should just have a room there. I had no idea. I don't want that to be me. I don't want to let you guys down again. Nathan placed the bowl of weed into the drawer. He stood, stretched his arms, and cracked his knuckles. Then how about another beer? He pulled Oakes into a headlock. I've got you, man. I always have. He picked up the little cooler he kept by the couch and made his way to the fridge. He filled it with another six-pack and grabbed two extra beers out. We got the label breathing down our necks though, man. They want us to find another vocalist pronto. They've given us 3 months before they sue us for breach of contract, and you know they've got technicalities for addiction and arrest in the fine print. Oakes was rustling in his bag when Nathan offered the beer. I need to show you these, he said, holding out a couple of small Moleskin notebooks. Lots of time in there to write. I want to be the vocalist for Polyphemus again. I've been in since high school. You know it makes sense. Nathan took a deep breath. He cracked his beer and took a big swig. If it's entirely up to me, you know it's a done deal. But it's not. Oakes squeezed the book so tightly, Nathan was surprised they didn't crumble under the pressure. You know full well that Spiros and I always talk about it. This has been our life. Your life. But this is a career and there's a lot of trust that's not there anymore. We've got to rebuild all the momentum. We've got to convince promoters and producers and label reps that we've moved past what happened and that we're not, you know, not junkies. You can say it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. He took the beer and passed the notebooks to Nathan. I've been beating myself up since it happened. You wake up from that spray they blast up your nose, that Narcan, and you know how badly you've let everyone down. If I could take it back. He drank. Let me show you some of the lyrics. I know you've been working on riffs and stuff. You always do. Just talk to the boys. See if they're open to come into a jam sesh. I know everything's on me, but I can do that this week. It'll give the label something good to see too. I won't let you down, I promise. Nathan weighed the notebooks in his hands. Everyone made mistakes and everyone had to live with the outcome of those mistakes. But while it was obvious Oakes needed something with meaning in his life, he wasn't sure the touring circuit and all its temptations were the best option. I'll do what I can.